from your most trusted source for small talk and big microphones, live from Studio A, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, it's Friday.
And it's raining again.
I feel Friday. Yeah, you look outside, I feel like we've done this before.
Yeah.
Where we look outside and point out, wow, it's pouring down rain today.
Well, I think last week it was really nice and sunny, and then
we walked outside the studio,
yep.
And it poured like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was
heavy. No, apparently we're gonna be done raining eventually and enjoy tomorrow. Some summer tomorrow again.
Or fall.
Man, this is familiar to me now.
How about some sports?
There's a little.
A little bit.
I mean, you know, you watch sports, you pay attention to sports. There is this is the time of season where your niche sports really take off.
The Ocho?
I mean, I wish we would just start. That comes around, by the way. Got about a month or so, and they do that ESPN
that
Ocho thing. And that is my favorite sports thing to talk about. We're not quite here. We're getting there. Yeah. I'm with you, man.
All right.
What happened in the week of sports? The NBA draft happened.
Yep.
It was a 2-day event.
Okay.
On Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
It's interesting. This year there wasn't any huge names
right.
in the first round of the NBA draft, like Victor Wembanyama, LeBron
right.
James, Blake Griffin, like one of these guys, Kyrie Irving, that are going to Anthony Edwards. There wasn't one of those guys in this draft. You could make an argument that the biggest name in this draft was a second-round pick who got picked number 51 by the Los Angeles Lakers. Bronny James got LeBron James' son. You've heard of LeBron James?
Maybe
a little bit. He's arguably or unarguably the best basketball player of the last 25 years. His son, Bronny James, was a guard at USC. He was a McDonald's All-American. He was a pretty good, great high school player. Went to USC, they discovered a congenital heart defect.
He had a heart attack.
And, that was for a 18-year-old in the prime of his health. That's a big scare.
Yep.
He played his freshman year at USC, averaged something like 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, nothing remarkable in those numbers. He tested at the NBA Combine, got an invite to the pre-draft process, did really well in that. Although without the name James at the end of his name, he probably isn't a drafted guy. He's an undrafted free agent. He's a guy who probably would have been served for a year in the G League or another year in college.
Right.
But he got drafted by his dad's team.
Really?
He did.
What a shock.
The least surprising pick of the entire NBA draft was all the way down there at 50 and change. Really still surprised that some team didn't just decide to draft him, although the talk was that if any other team drafted Bronny James, Bronny James was going to go play in Australia.
Right.
So, it was interesting to me because I did listen to and watch all 2 rounds many, many hours. Wednesday started at like 3 PM and ran till about 6 or 7 at night.
Okay.
Bronny James, I was really surprised that he didn't come out for the pick, that LeBron James didn't want to come out with his son and walk across the stage and shake hands with hands with the commissioner. It's a, if you, you know, you're a parent, you have a child, you think, hey, one day he's going to be just like me, man. I hope he ends up playing basketball and is really good. And you keep being an NBA player. You're 39, your son is 19. The stars really have to align for him to get drafted. For him to get drafted by the team you play for, and all those things lined up just perfect. It felt like that perfect moment, as a parent, I would love to walk across and be like, look, I did this,
you did this,
but in the NBA too, to get behind this thing they've been talking about, not talking about for the last month, finally happened. I'm very surprised that it wasn't a more of a to-do of a thing, but it really wasn't. They just went right past it and they...
I saw an interview with Bronny and he was saying, I'm here to make my own history. And what happens, happens. And I'm here because of my hard work.
Well, that is true, right?
Well,
he probably worked really hard. He also had every advantage that LeBron James had throughout the last 18 years. You know, trainers and camps and technique. And
billions of dollars for those trainers.
And the free time. That's the thing is it becomes easier to be an expert at things that you're passionate about when you have the free time. And that happens when you're, you know, born into a little bit of wealth as Bronny James, a little, you know. You have a chance to excel at whatever you could choose. There's a good chance that if he would have been a violinist or a gymnast, whatever he would have been great at it because he had the time and space to do it. But other than that non-surprise, it was this draft didn't have any. There was four French players taken in the first round. The first two picks were both French players. Zachary Richard was the first pick overall by Atlanta.
Yep.
6'8" forward. You know, looks like he can do a little bit of everything. But it was really, really interesting, you know, as you're watching this draft. They had to project guys who played 18 to 20 minutes in the French league to be projected to be a top flight pick in the NBA, to be able to contribute in the NBA and do something that nobody, you know, like to be great. And I didn't watch any of the Australian league this year.
Sure.
I didn't watch any of the French league. I didn't catch any of the Euro league at all. So I can't tell you anything about the first two picks in the draft. Alex Sarr is the first big man taken. He can play defense. He's long and athletic and projectable.
Did you say the first pick was 6'8"?
Yes.
Then you call Alex Sarr a big man? Big man?
6 foot, because he plays like a center. First pick by the Atlanta Hawks is a small forward, a large guard. In the NBA, that's kind of this in a non-positional game.
Sure.
You're looking for a guy 6'7", 6'8", who can guard the perimeter, he can handle the ball, he can guard, a couple three spots in the lineup, he can be a center, he can, you know, do these little things. And so that projectability, it's a really interesting thing in the NBA. The Bucks had two picks in the draft, which were really interesting. It's been a while since the Bucks have used their picks, and they needed them. This year coming around, they absolutely needed to fill some holes in that roster with talent. They needed guys who can play 10 to 15 minutes because of bench depth. They have great starting five when they're healthy, but they haven't been in a couple years. So you really needed guys, in my mind, that could play real minutes right off the bat. So you weren't looking for projectability necessarily. You weren't looking for a guy who 3 years from now could be something. You're looking for a guy who 3 months from now could give you minutes on a playoff team. Guys like Tyler Kolek from Marquette was a four-year starter as a point guard. Kyle Filipowski, who is a Duke graduate, which I don't like Duke players on your team, but he fits a role. He's a big man who can shoot. They passed right by that. They, with their, was a 23rd pick, they picked A.J. Johnson, who played as a 6'4", 167-pound guard, young, 18, 19 years old. He played in Australia last year.
Okay.
He's from the States. He was a McDonald's All-American, a top 10 recruit coming out of high school. And then, like has happened, LaMelo Ball did it. Lots of players now are going that route. Apparently Australia, the NBL in Australia, is considered, you know, like the second or third best league in the world.
Okay.
And they're doing a really good job, kind of like college sports, of recruiting these guys, selling them on spend a year here, make your name, learn to play against pros, we'll get your name, we know how to get you drafted.
Right.
And they've shown that they can. Okay. So I don't know much about A.J. Johnson other than I saw last year he was one of these players who decided to play in Australia. Like most 6'4", 170-pound basketball, incredibly athletic.
Okay.
Can shoot a bit, can play couple of positions, can handle the ball, but at 19 years old and having played in a league across the country, there's an adjustment period.
Sure.
With any of these players, it's probably a great opportunity as a 19-year-old, 18-year-old to make some money living in Australia for a year and playing against pros and being trained like a pro. You know, but he's a guy who's a year away from being a year away from contributing. Yeah. So I can't see him you know, really getting getting any real minutes unless, you know, but he needs to. It's kind of one of those funny things where they need somebody who can play backup point guard. They had Patrick Beverley last year. He's not going to be back. He wasn't much of a player for them. But you're looking at replacing in the near future guys like Brook Lopez. You need a backup center. You need – there were some available. They needed that. They needed a guy who could play. And so like I said, unless there's a real quick development curve, they also drafted in the second round. They had, because of the Drew Holiday, Dame Lillard trade,
right,
they ended up with Portland's second round pick this year,
okay,
which was the 33rd overall pick, where they drafted a guy out of the G League. Another, you know, 18, 19-year-old guy with projectability. He's 6'9", 225 pounds. Put, 14 points and 5 rebounds in 22 minutes a game. Looks like he's an athlete. He can shoot a little bit. Really, it felt like a typical Milwaukee Bucks, let's swing for Giannis. Let's see if we can find a player who could be Giannis one day.
Right.
Instead of, like Boston has done a good job drafting and bringing in free agents who can play complementary minutes. The Bucks are kind of going another route where they're trying to plan for the future, which is always good, but they're also, they're in the present, they're one of the best teams in the league. They need to capitalize on the chance to win a championship, and they did not do that with this draft. They improved their stock for a couple years from now, but I've watched the Bucks have these developmental guys. Marshawn Beauchamp was a guy they drafted out of the G League.
Bless you.
Thank you. A couple, 2-3 years ago. He's now finally just seeing 10 minutes a game. This next coming year, he's going to be the backup two guard because he's there. He's a veteran at this point. But,
right,
yeah, so under kind of an underwhelming draft for all sorts of reasons. Like I said, if you want that big highlight moment where the best player in college comes out and, you know, big number one pick, Tim Duncan, wasn't there. An interesting pick to me, and Big Ten-wise, was at number 9 overall, Zach Edney.
Oh.
From Purdue got picked.
Sure.
7'5", 280 pounds. Last 2 years in college, he averaged a 20-12.
Oh, that's right. Yep, yep.
Was the National Player of the Year 2 years in a row. Played for a team that made it to the championship game last year. If this would have been 10 years ago, a player like that would have been drafted first overall, and nobody would have questioned it. They would have been very excited to build a team around a giant immobile center who can... But, I mean, the way that he plays in a team with on the Memphis Grizzlies, who he got drafted by, plays with Ja Morant.
Right.
One of the best pick-and-roll guys in the league. Incredibly fast, knows what to do with the ball in his hands.
Trouble.
If he can finally stay out of trouble, that he really does something for that team. It's a team that is set up well to have a immobile center,
sure,
who can set... I would argue he probably has the best screener in the NBA. And in a league where they run that, that was an interesting one to me as I watched down. Everything else just sort of like, oh, hey, that guy. I remember that guy.
How about my Timberwolves picking up Rob Dillingham from a trade from us.
That was the only thing in the first round that was a big shocker trade because,
yeah, right.
But Minnesota's in a spot where they can absolutely give up future draft capital to get what they need now. And
right.
Rob Dillingham, he was rated as the best point guard in the draft, pure point guard, as
sure,
a 6'2 guy with the ball in his hands, quick downhill player, like a prototypical starting guard in the NBA.
Will he start?
No, he's a perfect backup to Mike Conley. Mike
sure.
Conley is a leader. He's 37.
Sure.
But he was great for the Timberwolves. But
okay.
What you need is a guy who can, like the Bucks needed. You need
sure.
a guy behind your guy, you know.
Give him a break.
To give him a break. There's probably 10 games a year where Mike Conley doesn't play. And in much the same way that you need a backup quarterback on those games where your guy doesn't play, you need a starting point guard that can get it done. That can be a sixth and seventh man off the bench in real minutes. And Rob Dillingham, incredibly fast, great scorer. There's always questions about a guy's defense. Almost every player when they come into
right.
the NBA is not ready defensively for the amount of work and communication and strength, quite honestly, that it takes to do that 82 games a year. But they traded two first-round picks including one that wasn't theirs, which, as I was saying off the air, is it's always interesting to bet on other teams' draft picks because you're kind of hoping that those teams are good. But yeah. at that point, you also aren't, you don't really care because you've already got your player.
Right.
So, but it's not having to do with how good or bad you are. It's hoping that Milwaukee 5 years from now, which is what the pick was, 2030 Milwaukee draft pick, is good. So it helps whoever they traded with at number eight. That was kind of a very interesting trade. One of those few, like, oh, you see Minnesota Timberwolves are doing it the right way, which is a weird, weird thing, but absolutely is happening in sport.
Okay. Can we talk about one thing that's saw really that was weird?
Yes.
The draft chime?
Please do, yeah. Yeah, I
so
like that.
So the draft chime, obviously I'm an NFL guy, and I hear the chime.
And if anybody isn't it, you can picture that sound effect in your head if you've watched any NBA NFL draft. You know, I can't make that sound properly, but it's a... Yeah,
I got it for you.
Bring it in. Oh. Yeah, the pick is in.
Well, that's the NFL.
And?
It's the same one for the NBA.
That is very surprising. That one is kind of how cheap is ESPN that they just decided that's because it's one of those that sound brings everybody in, right? Like if you're a sports fan, you hear that, you know that there's a draft pick happening.
I'm thinking it's the NFL.
Well, that'll make you pay attention. Hey, is the draft?
No.
Are they doing a midseason draft or another draft?
Gosh.
Yeah, though that was kind of interesting.
I watched
too.
It. I watched the first round a little bit here and there. And I heard that. I'm like, no, I can't be right. And I kept on listening, waiting for the next pick. I'm like, yeah, that's the NFL.
Like the guy in the studio pushing the buttons, pushed the wrong button, but they decided, you know, it worked. It worked earlier. Let's do it again. That was kind of funny. Is the production value.
All 58 times?
Okay. Man. That is worth noting. That is an interesting
I'm just saying.
Way to cheap out ESPN. Of all the things to do.
Well, no, it's not ESPN. It's NFL.
Is that an NBA? I mean, who makes that decision to just decide, let's keep doing the same chime
that
the NFL
uses? So maybe it's the guy that owns the rights to that chime.
That must be an ESPN thing then, right?
No. That's the NFL.
Is that still the same noises on the NFL network too?
Yeah.
Huh. That is questionable.
No, because that's what the NFL, that's what they produce.
Okay.
So whoever ESPN or the
gotcha.
NFL, that comes from the NFL.
Huh.
That's their sound effect.
Weird. That is very interesting.
So then whoever created that is getting royalties for now from the NFL and the NBA.
Sure. There's some sound engineer out there who's really, really patting himself on the
probably
back,
some
man.
Probably some 16-year-old on a keyboard.
Yeah, but he's set. I'm that guy. I made the ESPN draft noise. Yeah, that is kind of an interesting thing.
But it's really sad. A $1 billion company like the NBA.
Couldn't quite get it
make
together.
It
yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, they got it's cameras weird. All over the world to catch NBA to catch this talent, but they can't come up with their own sound effect.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, good for you. Way to watch the NBA draft, by the way.
It was the Timberwolves.
Okay.
I heard the Timberwolves. I was watching it and went, well, and all of a sudden it was the
And really, at the end of the day, making it a two-day event and putting it in prime time, that's what it's all about,
right.
Is capturing your eyes as a casual fan.
I had just tuned in. I went, oh, Spurs are picking Rob Dillingham. And all of a sudden, it's been traded to...
Yeah.
That's what caught my attention. Timberwolves.
All right.
Yeah, good talk.
What else? Brewers, of course, they continue to happen every single week because it's summer. They are...
Still in the lead.
Still in the lead by 6.5 games.
That's pretty good.
I believe the awful, awful St. Louis Cardinals have finally gotten over 500.
Yes, they're
513. To be finally somebody over 500 in that division so it can stop being the worst division in baseball and just be one of the worst divisions in baseball. They're 6.5 games up. Once again, they're 6-4 in their last 10, which is, like I said, that's the broken record, but that continues to put you in a spot to win 90 games and make the playoffs and win your division by probably 6.5 games.
Right.
They swept the World Series champion Texas Rangers, who are not good this year, which is interesting. The same exact team, they're running it back, and they are the last place team in the AL West, or second to last team in the AL West.
They're third.
They lost to the Padres 2 out of 3. The Padres have probably more talent than any team outside of the Dodgers in baseball. So they're hovering around 500, so it doesn't really surprise me.
Okay.
Next, they've got games against the last-place Cubs and the last-place Rockies.
Oof.
I mean, this is their spot. This is that sweet spot in the schedule where you, 162 games, you got to look at some, you know, 10-game stretches where you can win 8 or 9 games if you're a championship-level team.
Right.
That's what you're really, really aiming for. And, you know, revenge games against the Cubs are going to feel really good for a long time.
Yeah.
Seeing the look on Craig Counsell's face when they lose games,
right,
was not something you got used to as a Brewers fan because they just didn't lose a lot of games. And he seemed to be... It's interesting that he was a better manager for a small market team than he is for the Cubs.
No.
I don't know what that tells you. I'm not a Cubs analyst. I haven't paid any attention to anything other than Craig Counsell on that team. But they're in last place and look terrible.
Cubs are just cursed.
I like that. But they've won a World Series, so they're less cursed than the Brewers.
Me.
You know, less cursed than the Vikings, too, if I'm not mistaken.
We're talking about baseball, buddy.
I mean, we can always pivot. I've always got that circled. Vikings in big letters.
I want to put that sound, that draft sounder on every time you just do that.
Just point out that you have a favorite team. There's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. Your cursed favorite team. But they have played the rookies. And even though Sal Frelick's not a rookie, he's a pretty young guy. He's in his second year. Jackson Churio had himself his second inside the park home run this year.
Okay.
Because, man, is he fast.
Yeah.
It looked like they sped up the camera and put on those old-timey sound effects.
Sure, sure, sure.
When he started running around first base, and he saw that he hit it out to center like a single, but the guy misplayed it trying to dive for the ball. And so it is one of those little league moments where
sure.
he had to sprint back and get the ball. And you could see as soon as the player dove, Churio just... He was running real fast, and then he went into extra speed, and he beat the throw by a lot. The amount of speed that young guy has is amazing. He's got track speed on the baseball field, and he's also playing better. He started out the year pretty okay, and then he wasn't. I mean, he fields pretty well. He's real athletic, but he was hitting like 200 for a while. You know, he hits that spot where it's like, oh, maybe he should be in the AAA, get his numbers back, get his confidence back,
sure.
but... Bit by bit by bit over the last month, he's turned into, like over the last month, he's a 300 hitter.
Nice.
When you are a 300 hitter with the amount of speed and power that he has, I mean, you see why, as a 21-year-old, this guy can be Ken Griffey Jr. You see it. And so that's been fun to watch or listen to because I haven't caught a lot of Brewers on TV because, once again, Bally Sports is the worst, and they are making it very difficult to be able to affordably watch your favorite Brewers and Bucks games, so boo on them.
Okay.
Sal Frelick is their starting center fielder. He has no power other than hitting home runs in back-to-back games like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
He has not hit a home run in his professional career,
okay.
but he's hitting .270, stealing some bases, playing really good defensive center field.
Okay.
He's one of a couple... Two guys, three guys. There's only about two guys on this Brewers lineup who don't hit for power. Bryce Terang and Sal Frelick, both of them steal bases and play really good defense.
Okay.
And Joey Ortiz is the best rookie third baseman in baseball. He has an argument that could be made for rookie of the year.
Okay.
He's got the highest wins above replacement of any positional player, which is how much better are you at everything overall than the average major leaguer? And he's... good, like in the numbers, he's doing really well. He's also third in the All-Star game voting.
Nice.
Which is, I was looking into how players get picked to the All-Star game, and it's online voting mixed with coaches' managerial decision. So it's kind of weird how these players are picked because you'll see players who are just like have 10 times the amount of votes as anybody else. Shohei Ohtani is leading, because it's a World Wide Web internet vote, as an international player, an entire country is lining up and voting for... I mean, he's really good. He's an MVP, but the numbers he's putting up are amazing. So it's really a popularity contest because Manny Machado is second place for the third basemans in the National League. He's hitting like .250. He's worse in every category than Joey Ortiz, the rookie for the Brewers, is. But Joey Ortiz is a distant third. The guy for the Phillies, Alex Boehm, is leading by a lot too because he's doing really, really well. But
because Philly fans,
and that's the thing, is if you're a real big, it's why aware if you were like a pack, if they did this in the NFL, the Packers would win, would have 20 guys in the Pro Bowl every year. Packers are worldwide the most popular, Dallas Cowboys, say, like, or the New England Patriots. One of these, if you were able to open us the vote to the internet,
The internet.
The whole interweb. Yeah. I'm that old. Yes, you can open up to the internet for voting. But yeah, that was the Brewers for the last week. Again, first place. All signs point to them being great. They traded for, as I was talking the last couple weeks, they needed a pitcher.
Sure.
They traded for a former Cy Young winner. Big things. Except that Cy Young winner is Dallas Keuchel, and he won the Cy Young in 2015. He's got a career record of 103-92 and an ERA just hovering around 4. After winning the Cy Young in 2015, he has played for like 4 different teams. He's now 37. He's not good anymore. He pitched as soon as they traded for him the next day from the Mariners, he pitched. He pitched 4 innings. He gave up 6 runs. Nothing special.
Sure.
But they traded for a Cy Young winner, so that's exciting.
Put that on the resume.
So they need to make a trade. I still am a big fan of make a trade for something impactful.
Sure.
That's Brewers. That really kind of wraps up.
Well, that's good because we only got like 4 minutes left.
U.S. soccer, the Copa America tournament's going on. The U.S. won their first game and then lost to Panama last night 2-1. A red card and the first half ended up dooming that team. They looked young and talented, but they need to win a game against Uruguay, who is one of the top 10 teams also. The U.S. is ranked currently as like the top 12 team in the world, which is as high as they've ever been.
Okay.
But losing to a team like Panama doesn't play well. They need to start being successful. It's the goal for anybody who's a soccer fan. This is the goal. This is the best chance in the next 4 years for the U.S. to mean something in soccer. Other than that, it just sort of goes away.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers won the NHL Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
We talked last time. We were facing a game 7 because Florida won 3 and then Edmonton won 3.
Yeah.
And then Florida won 2-1. I watched that 7th game. Man, playoff hockey is the best.
Yeah.
Playoff hockey is so exciting. I'm really, really into just watching game 7s.
Just 7.
Just tell me when a game 7 is happening in the NHL playoffs and I'll watch that.
Good.
What else?
That was a good series, though.
It was great. Yeah. I mean, like I said, playoff hockey is a whole different ball game than just about every sport. It's so fun to watch.
Right.
Other than that, that was really the amount of real sports that happened. Next week, I want to start talking fantasy football.
A little early for that, isn't it?
It really isn't. I had a thing that popped up on my fantasy football, like fantasy football previews, because now these teams are set. You can start if you're really
into
rosters.
They're not really
rosters.
Set yet, though, because they still have the 90-man rosters.
As far as the fantasy football, the players who are going to make an impact on your fantasy football team are on your team. So I do like talking. Fantasy football is its own monster that I really get into. So that'll be next week.
Okay.
We will talk. I want to talk. I was going to do it this week, but we're... Man, a minute and a half. That's not enough time to talk about Snoop Dogg's sports summer.
Yeah, it's Olympic. It'll be going on.
We'll cover it next week because Snoop Dogg, for anyone keeping track at home, and everyone knows who he is. If you don't, you should get out there and check out this Snoop Dogg gentleman. He's your parents' favorite rapper and mine too. He's Martha Stewart's best friend.
Yeah.
He's spent the last like 30 years really going from rapper to celebrity to
influencer.
I want to run for president. It just seems like everybody's buddy. He's 52 now, and he has been traveling this entire summer. He was in Milwaukee for a concert where he threw out the first pitch and then was an analyst for the first 3 games, play-by-play. I've watched him do the NBA. I've watched him do NHL. I've watched him do the Olympics. I want Snoop Dogg to cover my team. He's fun to listen to.
Well, he's a sports guy, too, because he's a coach.
He knows he's a coach.
Football coach.
His son
played
D1 football. He's been a sports guy forever. I really, really enjoyed Smooth. So we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
And then also there was an interesting question on sports radio last couple days of who would you start a franchise in the NFL with besides Patrick Mahomes?
We could carry that over to next week.
Yeah, 30 seconds doesn't quite get there either. What do you got, man?
Just a reminder for tonight, we have the Sittin' Pretty Farm pizza benefit for us.
Out to Sittin' Pretty. Say hi to those good people.
Music by Edward David Anderson. 5 to 9 p.m. tonight. Make sure you guys go check that out.
That pizza is really good. That's a great spot to sit and, watch the sunset, have a pizza, and listen to music. Yeah, get out there and do that. This has been a really good show. Thanks to WDRT and everybody else for doing this. Have a really great weekend, and we will talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.